Now, speaking of politics, yesterday was a day of joyous celebration for the supporters of Catherine Connolly. Have a listen to a little bit of her speech in Dublin Castle.
I stand before you humbly and proudly as the 10th president of this beautiful country. The people have spoken and have given their president a powerful mandate to articulate their vision for a new republic. A republic worthy of its name, where everyone is valued and diversity is cherished, where sustainable solutions are urgently implemented, and where a home is a fundamental human right. The change that led to this joyful day began with a small group of elected representatives and volunteers facing what appeared to be insurmountable challenges. We were led to believe that it was too great a leap, that our ideas were too far out, too left, at odds with the prevailing narrative. In shared conversations all over the country, however, it became evident that the dominant narrative did not reflect or represent people's values and concerns. Time and time again, people spoke of how it served to silence, to other, to label, to exclude, and to stifle critical thinking. Along with that, however, along with meaningful engagement, we saw the emergence of hope. We saw the emergence of joy.
There you go. That's a little bit of the President of Ireland, Catherine Connolly, in an inauguration speech at Dublin Castle. Yesterday, were you watching the events? What did you think about it? Get in touch with us on the programme this morning with any of your views and your comments on that. Well, with me on the line is somebody putting a lot of on the ground, wearing out the shoe leather, putting up the posters, work that made yesterday possible. That's Joe Harrington, who's PRO of, of Kerry for Connolly. Joe, good morning to you.
Hi, Johnny. Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Better than yesterday evening when you first contacted me. So, but we'll move on from that.
We will. Like, you must have been absolutely delighted, though, with the day that it was yesterday. Tell me, take me back to the start when you first got involved and first said, "Yeah, I'm going to put my shoulder to the wheel for this independent candidate who's running for President of Ireland."
Yeah, well, I suppose I was just one of, as it turned out in the end, I think nearly 16,000 volunteers all over the country who joined in the campaign. A fantastic movement that just grew of its own accord. The Social Democrats and People Before Profit were the first to push the boat out and announce their support for Catherine. And I'd be involved with People Before Profit, so I was in on the thing from early on, as best we could here in Kerry. But what we found, of course, was that there was a lot of people that we didn't know, people that, you know, didn't have a history in politics that were coming to the fore and putting their shoulders to the wheel a lot better than I could because of, well, I've moved on a bit now. They put together a very good campaign. They figured it out. We figured it out with all our experiences, good and bad. We figured out how to work with and made some mistakes, but corrected them quickly. And the important thing, I think, was that we had a woman called Alice. I don't even know her second name still. And she had great ways with her in terms of keeping people together. Because sometimes groups like that can start to fly apart and individuals can come in and become difficult and stuff. But no, that never happened with our particular campaign. I think we had about 200 volunteers, maybe someplace between 200 and 300 in Kerry at the end. So there was a lot of help available to do the work that needed to be done.
Yeah. And how does it start from that point of view? You get people involved, get people along, then you do all the plan, you leaflet doors, you get the posters up and running. Is it that basic? You have meetings, online in person?
Yeah, the main thing is, I think we'd only one in-person meeting, in actual fact. Maybe second one, I can't remember now. But it was mainly WhatsApp groups. And the WhatsApp groups were then broken up into the local areas, you know, the local electoral areas, as well. So as people came on board, it became unwieldy to have everybody on the one WhatsApp group, but it was then broken up into the five or six or so electoral areas, and that worked very effectively. So it was easy enough to get people motivated and working in their own areas. They didn't have to be travelling the length and breadth of the country. Everybody had, jobs in their own place. So that happened. We had posters to put up with flyers, thousands of flyers. I don't know how many of those went out. And one of my jobs was the road signs, the big 8x4 road signs, which I certainly know Northern Lines took on, because we had the experience of it with the Dan Paddy and the festival posters that we put up all over, that has their big posters. So we knew every site in the place where these posters would fit. And one of the things that was against it, of course, is the elections were in the winter, in the autumn anyway, in bad weather. So it was a little bit more difficult to keep things, posters and road signs, actually in good order. But we managed it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it takes. That's how you get organised. You use your experience from other campaigns. You know the sites. You get a trailer, you get a Jeep or a car, and you travel the roads and get the spots and get the whole thing up and running.
Yes. And we also had quite a bit of help coming in from the Palestine groups. I was sort of involved with the one in the store in McMooney there in the square every Tuesday night. And they came on board as well, and that was a big help. They took on certain jobs as well. So I suppose the big event for us was when Catherine came to visit us in Tralee and a couple of other places in Kerry. But we met her in Tralee, and as I said at the time, it was a unique or unusual situation in that right to the day, 110 years ago, another Connolly had visited Tralee, and that was James Connolly. And he had addressed 3,000 trade unionists on that day, 110 years to the day before Catherine Connolly turned up. And she gave, what I noticed about her was that she gave everybody time. There was no sort of a quick handshake and a move on. She gave everybody, you know, 30 seconds at least, and chatted and talked to them in a real way. And it took us the best part of 2 hours to get her from where we were in Castle Street down to the cafe in Madden's, wasn't it, where we had the press conference. So we knew then that was a big boost to us here in Kerry, because we knew that she was very popular. People were just coming over and chatting, and nobody gave out, nobody complained. A very positive experience that was.
Yeah, it certainly was. Joe, look, when did you feel that, you know, I won't say you were pushing an open door. You've been through campaigns that are successful and unsuccessful, obviously, through your political life. But when did you think that, things are turning here? And is it the reaction you get on the doorsteps, the feeling on the ground, or how would you capitalise it?
I would say, just like I said there, Tralee definitely was a turning point for me. I could see that was the way things were going, and there was great support for her. She was, what I would consider anyway, a great candidate, because the one thing she never did was she never backed down. And that was difficult at times. You know, some of the criticism that was levelled at her, you know, another person other than her would be tempted to maybe back a small bit or give an explanation, but no, she didn't. And I think that, you know, when criticism was and harsh criticism was given of her, and some people would say dirt was thrown, but we'd leave that alone. The volunteers didn't become demoralized. They just redoubled their efforts, and every time that the pressure came on, I wouldn't be somebody that would be interested in horse racing, but I used to check the bookies, because the bookies are generally fairly right, and every time that Catherine was hit, her odds shortened, and she wound up 25-1 on. So it was going that direction all the time.
It helped that there was other campaigns imploding of their own accord as well at the same time. But look, that's the luck you need as well in a political campaign to make it right, to twists and turns of it as well. Joe, tell me this, and this is a bigger question, and perhaps maybe a more political question, and maybe really it's unknowable at this stage, depending on how long this current government lasts. But even from the point of view of a local election, you mentioned there the young people have gone involved for the first time. And we've seen this happening in other social issues that require a vote, referendum, same-sex marriage, other things like that, that people have gotten involved. But it's another thing altogether to get those people plugged into politics in terms of, let's say, a local election or a general election and winning that for a party. Because at the moment, and maybe you'll have a view, better view on this than I, there's a perception out there that young people aren't getting engaged. The old method of joining a local common or a branch of a local organisation, that's kind of dying out, is it? It's moving more online. How do you get people involved in a modern political organisation, I guess? As life is so busy, people have less time. It's a form of volunteering, really, but it seems to be dying out, or am I wrong?
I don't know. I think that, you know, in any particular campaign, this one was one, but we're saying in a general election for young people, there has to be a particular issue, that has to be some big issue that's worth making an effort for, rather than just the run-of-the-mill election campaign. And that'll depend then, a lot will depend then on what's going on when that election comes. I would think that, as always, the experience that people have had on this occasion, some of it anyway, will wash off. It'll also depend, of course, on, you know, there was a lot of good feeling in relation to this campaign. When Sinn Féin came on board, that made a difference. I should have said that, because, to be fair, when Sinn Féin came on board,
their level of organisation, their finances, all of that.
The level, that brought us very positive results. And I think if that grouping sort of stays together, now I don't think it'll be the left will be uniting in one party, but they certainly should be calling for votes for each other. And I think that will resonate with young people, because I think that the call that will be going out will be that we finally have a chance to win the 100 years of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael control over the government, and Catherine Connolly's victory.
Isn't that the big question, though? Can you get that same level of level of positivity? Like, a presidential election is a lot different. You've individual TDs all battling it out. You have left parties competing with each other for the same kind of area of votes. Or is it about breaking outside of that and saying, trying to paint, and it's a hard thing to do, trying to paint a national picture to local individual constituencies and people in those constituencies, say, look, if we want, let's say, for instance, a left government or a more left government, then this is what we have to do. You have to get involved. You have to cooperate across the parties and try and get that grassroots campaign going that will win an election over the course of 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, Jerry, I think we record that, because you laid out exactly what needs to be done, whether it happens or not. Is the question, we'll certainly be doing our best to make sure that's what happens. Also, I think just to worth saying a couple of other things, just very briefly, a couple of other things. I think that Catherine's victory is important in the international scene. It shows that the country can swing around from the Trumpism of, of the way the world is going. And that Mandani's victory in New York is another example of it. So that gives hope to people that things aren't going the one direction and going in a very bad direction, as a lot of us would believe. So that gives hope as well. And hopefully that might be part of the thing the young people would take on board as well in the next election, that we keep things going in that direction. And finally, can I just say that we'd be hoping that we'd get the call to the Irish ourselves with the Irish Rambling House, because Catherine is very much into the traditional music, and we're on there with Radio Kerry at Sheam Satir on Wednesday the 26th, and we have a good show, having come back from England. their wins together. And we'd be hoping at some stage, maybe St. Patrick's Day, that we might find our way up to the Arras and celebrate with her in a more direct way.
Brilliant. Joe, listen, thanks a million for telling us the story this morning, and congratulations again on a well-run campaign. That's Joe Harrington there of People for Profit. He's PRO of Kerry for Connolly.